there are no new ideas, I feel, in our industry of like what the approach is. Like, if you think of all of the great shows, great as in like successful long-term, they're all generally based around somebody's profession to some capacity, right? Like what they do and how interesting that is, from, you know, Kat Von D when she had LA Inc., Rachel Zoe, you know, doing design, like even the Housewives, like everybody's got something going on in their profession, and then you tell the storyline. So from a start over perspective, if I could give anybody advice, is if you have an idea and you're gonna pitch it, make sure you have a good character to pitch it with. Because ideas now, like, they're great, but to sell, you gotta have that character.
Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
My name is Sergio Alfaro. I am the CEO of Invent TV.
Sergio, thanks so much for finding time to join us on the Ivy Podcast today. Great way to start the 2021 with conversation with you. Tell us a little bit more about your background, your career path, where you've been, and then I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about your current company.
Sure. Started in the 90s with Ken Ehrlich and Ron Basile doing a show called Motown Live. And from there, really was in the live event space for a long time. Did the Emmys, we produced a fundraiser in New York after 9/11, did the halftime show for the opening of the Superdome. I was part of a team that produced Obama's first inauguration. Like, we did a lot of, that one wasn't with Ken Ehrlich, that was Ricky Kirshner and Lisa Gears. But yeah, did a lot of live events and then transitioned at some point during the writer's strike into this new thing called reality TV that I really didn't understand. And I did this little sizzle with a really good friend of mine, Jay Peterson, and he brought me over to this company called Original Media. And from there, I learned what this reality business is, which is what I'm in now. It's great, great business to be in.
Wow, that's super exciting. You know, completely different spectrums, you know, from Obama to, you know, to reality TV. You know, that's super exciting. Tell us a little bit more about your current project, your current company. What are you guys focusing on and what are you guys building?
Well, Invent TV, we have a lot of unscripted programming and specials. Mm-hmm. So our focus right now is we have a new approach on some of the content that we're trying to do. And I think what people need right now in general is just a change of pace, something that's, you know, gonna make people happy when they're watching it. And, you know, there's one project in particular that I'm very excited about that one of our partners brought. And Jeffrey Soros introduced me to a guy named Arthur Brooks, who writes for The Atlantic. And he's a teacher at Harvard who teaches happiness. And this guy in particular and what this project could be just makes me beam inside. Like, I couldn't imagine a show where you could tune in with your family and by the time you're done with it, learn ways, because it's not just like, you know, a show where I'm going to watch it and I'm going to smile. No, he could actually teach you how to be happy by hacking your brain or making you see things in a different way. So I just would love to put a program on air that after watching it, you know, after one season or after, like, you literally will be a happier person. If we can create that kind of movement, like, oh my God, that'd be ideal. I mean, that'd be so great.
Wow, that's super cool. That's super exciting. And, you know, that brings me, I've been, you know, investing a lot of some of my, you know, energy and, you know, time into kind of that mental fitness aspect. And a lot of the readings that I have been doing is all around kind of the happiness factor and yeah, how you actually, you know, brain's a muscle that you can really train from that perspective. So I love that. Definitely, you know, when the show comes out or whatever it is.
Yeah, it really is. I did, like, this guy, every time I get on the phone with him, I'm like a stenographer. I write everything down that he's saying. I get all excited, like, oh my God, this is great. And it is very exciting. And he interviewed the Dalai Lama recently, and it's not his first time with the Dalai Lama. So this guy's very, very brilliant guy, Arthur Brooks. I really, I like him a lot.
Wow, that's super cool. I can't wait for that to come out. So as far as different trends and ideas that really excite you these days, whether that's in your industry or just something in general. So share with us to the extent that you can, what's super exciting to Sergio? What are you looking to invest in? What do you see as the next big thing in the short period? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, investment, I think it is in that good character always. You know, in our industry, we like to find, we have a great casting department. Joey Giomelli, who works with us, is just an absolute star. This guy could find these diamonds in the rough. And for us, it's, you know, I'm excited about finding those new stories, those new characters, things that you haven't found before, right? Like, I like watching shows like American Pickers. Why? Well, these guys travel the world and they go into these homes and you get to see these relics and stories of like these antiquities that they have. And value aside, it takes you on this great journey. And the characters on that show, they're just fun to watch. It's like you feel like it's family, they're down to earth, you know. And I love even, you know, in the negotiations, one of the things I really like about that show, and these are the things that we're looking for and excited about, is when he's negotiating with somebody and they're like, ah, give me $20 for it. And you know, Michael look at them and be like, it's actually worth like 100. So I'm gonna give you $100. Like, who does that? So that's the kind of stuff I think for us, like in programming that we want to find is those great, good characters, wholesome, but that tell a good storyline as well. In television, that's what excites me. In life, I love the stock market and I love playing with wood. I'm a lather. I lathe all kinds of woodwork constantly, and that's always fun to find new wood and new things that I'm gonna put on the machine. It's crazy.
That's super cool. You know, I can relate to the stock market, cannot relate to the wood part, so that's pretty cool.
A roller coaster, right? The
Yeah, it's
market.
very diverse. I love it. I love it. Very, very unique perspectives, and it's super cool. And from Inventivity perspective, and one of the topics that I'm very passionate about, I spent a lot of time talking to a lot of executives from different companies all around innovation. And when it comes to innovation, as far as building that culture or, you know, fostering that culture of innovation, it's, you know, it's not easy. Only a few companies that really succeed in this space. Everyone
Right.
says that they're innovative, but, you know, it just probably means a little bit different. So with your organization, with Inventivity, you know, just your name alone just probably stands for that. Continuous innovation, you know, experimentation, I'm pretty sure that's at the forefront of your overall strategy as a company. Tell us a little bit more about that process. How does that work? What do you guys go through? And just different, you know, any strategies that really help you build that culture of innovation at your company.
Yeah, I mean, for us in particular, it really is about the look. The storyline is incredibly important, and that's what we sell to begin with. Like, who are the characters? What's the story? But then with technology and the looks and what we have to do to, like, what's going to make our show stand out? I mean, the way I see it today, there are so many different gigantic platforms, and I call them vortexes that you go into, right? What's going to set it aside from the rest? Like, you have all these, you know, Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, HBO Max. You have all of these vortexes that you get to enter now and then choose a program. What's going to make yours stand out? I think it's the look. And innovation-wise, I really lean on the people that are much smarter than I am with that technology, which are DPs and, you know, our directors of photography that really say, like, look at this new lens, look at this new camera, this is what we can do with it. And just, you know, even today with COVID, we've had to adjust quite a bit in how we shoot things and how we record things and how we put things out to the market where it doesn't feel COVID, right? Like, an interview could feel as if two people are actually standing next to each other in the same room when in reality they're not. They're actually in two different states. So that kind of, and it's the youth, by the way. So, like, for me, it's like the innovation, we really listen carefully to the new up and coming, you know, DPs and directors, and also obviously the incredibly experienced ones that are always tinkering, because they never stop tinkering. So, you know, we lean on them to show us, like, what's going to make this show stand out and look uniquely different. So, cameras, lenses, editing, you know, all of that for us. There's so much technology that we get to play with, and it's just getting better and better and easier for us. I mean, now look, you have a phone that shoots in 4K. I mean, seriously, you could grab, like, nowadays we could do, you know, oh, just take a picture or record it on your phone, and we could put the VO into a series that's on television, you know, from our phone, which I think is, it's great. Technology is always evolving. Yeah.
Well, that's super cool. Yeah. You know, you mentioned, you know, use the word tinkering, and that to me is a synonym of, you know, experimentation, you know, and this, and then the day it's, you know, a lot of people perceive innovation as something grand, like, you know, disruptive, but it could be, you could mean some, you know, some very small improvement to whether, you know, your current techniques of doing things or your current processes. So that's very interesting what you're sharing.
Even just a lens with our DPs. I mean, they have all of these setups and one little change of a lens, one different angle, like everything makes such a difference in our industry and how it's going to be perceived, you know, it's,
Right. No, for sure. For sure. And so for our listeners who are not familiar with InventTV, what are some of the biggest, you know, shows that you guys have produced, or what are you guys most famous for? What are you most proud of to date?
Most proud of?
Or everything.
Yeah, I think most proud of is what's coming, because again, it goes down to the happiness of it all. I mean, we did a beautiful show in Alaska. That was great. I think right now, as in today, we're probably most known for Housewives of Utah, Salt Lake City, which is on Bravo, which has gotten a ton of attention. You know, it's a great show. Bravo has been great partners to us over the years. I worked with them way back on the Rachel Zoe days and a few other projects. So that one is probably the most, like, getting a lot of attention right now. But we've been across the platform. You know, we've been on... We've done things for Snapchat, BET, Oprah Winfrey Network, Bravo. And right now, proud of, I have to say, just because of who I am, it's going to be that happy show. I mean, we got a lot of great crime shows out in the market right now, a lot of good projects, but I'm a happy guy. So if I could do something that affects the world in this way, and again, like one of our partners, and I consider him a dear friend, is they actually joke and in a fun way with me that I'm always happy. Like, I'm in a good mood. It's just my spirit. So when Jeffrey brought us the happy project, I mean, I couldn't have dove in faster. Like, yes, I love it. Let's do it. So that's probably what I'm most proud of. And it's not even out yet.
Well, awesome. I can only imagine, because, you know, the energy, I can feel it, and, you know, can't wait for that to come out and really experience that kind of that happiness factor. That's going to be super cool. When it comes to really surrounding yourself with the best people, with, you know, with A players, with just rock stars, what's some of the strategies that really help you to attract the best folks, the best professionals to your teams? And then in terms of the strategies to retain that talent, just want to talk a little bit about that.
On the celebrity side or on the back office side?
Anything that really helps you succeed and, you know, take your company to the next levels, whether that's your celebrities or the kind of the supporting cast or whatever. Curious, what are some of the recommendations?
Sure. Well, on the production side and team, it's just being kind and respectful. You know, we are definitely a family office in where everybody understands the hurdles of life, like the kids and what's going on, especially in COVID. And I think treating everybody as a part of the team, nobody is I or a credit taker in our company. Everybody is a team. Like, I am nobody's boss. I'm everybody's, you know, we're a team. I mean, I don't know a different way of really saying it, but we all lean in. You know, everybody has a voice in our office. Everybody contributes to the creative, and, you know, you never know who's going to give you that little, didn't think about that. You know, we're not precious about, like, oh, you're an assistant or you're a director, you can't be a part of this. Like, not at all. Like, everybody's in on it. Even with our agents, when we have our agent calls or our partners calls, we bring the whole family in. Like, everybody's on the call, from, you know, the coordinators to, you know, the president of the company. So everybody's in the mix. And I think that just fosters a level of, like, a family that keeps each other going. Like, everybody's rooting for each other to succeed. It's not, I know a lot of places, other companies where it's competitive. Like, I got to outsell this person, or I got to work harder and I need to prove to, like, no, man, just be cool, be a part of the team, like, help each other out, because in success, we all win at the end of the day. You know, I mean, one of my longest employees I've had, she's been with me over 12 years, and she was a coordinator. She's VP of production now, and every step of the way, she'd be like, "I'm not ready to do this job." And she always was, and she's brilliant and has been with me literally forever. On the talent side of things, we're really getting A-level celebrities right now. And the way we're doing it, I have to thank the Kardashians for. We have a very clean approach. I think what they did with their brand in general is brilliant. Their program, they were what made them successful, in my opinion, was how raw and honest they always were. They didn't care. This is, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They didn't care, as in, this is what we know. Like, I will do what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna act the way I'm gonna act. And that rawness is what grew that, that brand for so long. And for us, from a celebrity standpoint, go back probably 4 or 5 years, I would talk to certain musicians or celebrities or athletes, and they'd be like, "I can make $1 million in a concert in a night. Why would I do an unscripted show? Pass." Well, I have a very different approach to them now. I speak to some pretty high profile individuals, and I'll say, "Are you as big as Paul McCartney? No. Will you ever be? Probably not." Actors, "Are you as big as George Clooney? No. Will you ever be? Probably not." You look at, even if you Google, net worth of Taylor Swift, or like really big names, Bono, blah, blah, blah. They're not billionaires. I could name two Kardashians that are. I could name more reality stars that have become billionaires. So if it's about money and it's a money play for you, don't tell me you could make $1 million a night, because that's short-sighted. Build a brand, create yourself, something where you become a household name. If it's about money for you, well, the business you're in is great. That's gotten you some attention, but come over to our side and I'll show you how you can become a billionaire, create a household name. And that really gets their attention, where it's like, "Oh shit." And that's everything from big name actors to musicians, where it's like, "I didn't think about it that way." So
Wow, that's
I
pretty
think it's a
cool.
good approach.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I like what you said in terms of really that family aspect when it comes to attracting the actual employees for your organization and treating them as such. I think that goes, for any industry or any type of organization, whether that's Fortune 100 technology company or, it's a smaller startup. I think
Right.
the exact same mentality from kind of that leadership perspective, really fostering that type of culture. So that's, that's very interesting. And to take that a little bit further in terms of the interview process, when you interview folks that or candidates that are, going through interviews for your company, give us a glimpse of what does that interview look like? Do you get creative? Do you keep it traditional? What's the interview with Sergio is like?
Yep. Well, in our industry, it's actually very focused with regard to, depending on what job we're going to put them into. So if it's for a specific show, we look for that demonstrated capability in that genre, right? It's not that we wouldn't put them into something else, but when people come in, like if we're doing something in Alaska, we'd be looking for people that have that cinematic tone, that have done nature shows before. So we really focus on that part of it, versus if we're doing a reality show, like a housewife show, they really need to have that skill set and talent, because it is a very different skill set. From an interview perspective, I like people that are honest and that life hasn't been perfect the whole time. I like to learn. You learn from failure. You really do. Make a mistake, make it once, make it fast, and then move on. I think Warren Buffett says that. If you're going to fail, fail fast so that you could learn from it. I'm a true believer in that. So interview-wise, when people come in and it's like, "Oh, I've been great my whole life. Everything's been perfect. I've never had an issue." Like, I like asking the question, like, "What's the worst job you ever had?" Or like, "Have you ever been fired and why?" Like, it throws people back, because nobody wants to put that forward. But to me, that rawness and honesty might give me a glimpse into what you've learned. I don't see it as a bad thing necessarily, but it could actually be a benefit to. You'll never make that mistake again. I mean, if you're anything like me, you make that mistake once, you program it in your mind, and you never do it again. So I look for that kind of, I look for that honesty of like, of not just success, but also failure. Like, what has your life been like? And when it's too perfect, usually it's all bullshit.
Probably not a good signal, and something around kind of being self-centered from that perspective. So I
Or
love.
the eye of it all too. Like, We do get people where I've actually had somebody pitch a show that they said they produce. I'm like, actually, we were on. That's our show. And it's like, oh my God, I was on it. And then they get to the truth of it all. But yeah, I did everything. Or if they naysay a little bit too much about the past, I don't like negative people or negativity around our environment.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And, you know, it's funny how these principles are so simple, in the sense that I recently interviewed CEO of Deloitte, one of the biggest consulting companies. And
I know who they are.
When him and I were talking about very similar question, it was almost exactly the same concept from a standpoint of really keeping it simple and also giving the opportunity for a candidate to talk about some of their failures. Not in the sense like, you know, to come across as you were perfect or not, but what did you learn from that? And what was kind of that thought process as you went through that particular failure? I think that's pretty cool. So for our listeners, if you're going to be interviewing with Sergio, you have a little bit of insider information.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as kind of what are some of the most in demand and very hard to find skill sets in your industry? What is there one particular that really stands out, especially recently, that you're like, man, this type of skill set is just so unique, unicorn. Is there such thing?
Yeah, there is. We call them predators, which is a producer editor. In today's market too, like, you have to do so much to get a show sold, right? Like, you gotta find the talent, you gotta go and interview them, do some scene work, edit it, write it up. Like, there's all these different things that you have to do. And when you're developing, it costs a lot of money to do that, right? So you have to hire a camera guy, an audio guy, a sound guy, same thing. But, you know, the producers, you gotta do all these things. And there's these incredibly talented people out there that have the ability, and they are very tough to get a hold of, because once you have one, you don't let them go. We have a couple in our portfolio, but they have an ability to get out into the field, pick up the camera, shoot a scene, come back and edit it. Like, they start to, or even produce and edit it. Like, this is what I need. It's almost like a, what do they call those knives that have all the stuff in it, a Leatherman. Oh. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's like these little pocket knives, and you could, here's a scissors and a screwdriver. And these guys and girls are so talented in that ability that those unicorns are great and difficult to find, because in essence, you have one person kind of overseeing a lot of different things. So those are our unicorns. And showrunners, showrunners are everything in our business. They are the ones that once we sell something, we're still involved, but they're the ones that are out there executive producing and making sure that the vision and what we sold is going to be actually delivered to screen. And there are some brilliant people out there that, you know, we've worked with and will continue to work with.
Very cool. Yeah, that's very interesting. Definitely very unique, very, very, you know, very niche. I would imagine, you know, it takes a great deal of recruiting and sourcing and, you know, just trying to find that type of talent. Very, very interesting. In terms of what I like to call content diet of Sergio, what do you consume on a daily basis that, you know, helps you stay, you know, ahead of the game, self-improvement, anything that you read and follow? Give us your sources of information.
For our industry, it's pretty straightforward. You know, Variety, Deadline Hollywood. Deadline Hollywood we live on, and the paper. You know, I think for following stories, we read the newspaper still. You know, we get the Sunday Times, and you open it up and you find a story in the paper, and you're like, oh wow, that's interesting. Let's go find out what that's about, whether it's, you know, an extreme murder case, because now you have something for ID or oxygen, because so many people are into the crime world, or just, you know, something that stands out. I mean, if it makes the LA Times, and it's amazing. It's almost like a lot of people do this as well, but it's like the ambulance chasers for insurance companies. Remember that? And it became a lot. That's us. You read the paper and you read a good story. It's like, shit, we call the casting department. We call our producers, like, find this person, get them on Instagram. You send them a private message. See how you can get to them, because you got to get to them first. And you'll be surprised how many times you reach out. It's like, oh, we've already been contacted by X, Y, and Z. And Instagram also. It's, you know, hunting and finding people on there that are interesting and have a good following but haven't been discovered yet in the general world, it's also good because it's just people are so raw on there and you get to see so much, you know, they really let you in. So
that's pretty cool. One of the last questions I have is, and I think it came from one of our audience members, in terms of on your website, you have some very big names listed, you know, celebrity wise, in terms of you growing your company to the levels where you're dealing with, you know, the kind of top levels of whether that's celebrity status or the business experts and so forth. Any recommendations for some of the kind of the early stage career professionals that are looking to get into this type of business? What is something that you wish you knew that you know now that, you know, you would have done differently, or something that, you know, you did that you would recommend?
God, that's a good one. I mean, if you're starting off from the very beginning, I guess what I would say to anybody is an idea. There are no new ideas, I feel, in our industry of like what the approach is. Like if you think of all of the great shows, great as in like successful long term, they're all generally based around somebody's profession to some capacity, right? Like what they do and how interesting that is, from, you know, Kat Von D when she had LA Inc., Rachel Zoe, you know, doing design, like even the Housewives, like everybody's got something going on in their profession, and then you tell the storyline. So from a start over perspective, if I could give anybody advice, is if you have an idea and you're gonna pitch it, make sure you have a good character to pitch it with, because ideas now, like they're great, but to sell, you gotta have that character. You know, we've come up with some amazing ideas that I think are like jaw dropping and fantastic, but you don't have the character to go with it. You don't have the expert that goes with it that is actually, like, you know, entertaining. The don't do's is don't pitch your family. Just don't. Everybody says, oh my God, I got an uncle, I got a this, like my family's crazy, we should be on TV. It's never the case. You'll never be on TV, like, or you will, but it's just, those are the tough ones. The other one is don't pitch celebrities that you don't have, because the thing that we get most, and I'm telling you, this is probably a weekly thing for us. Somebody will pitch a show and they'll be like, greatest reality show on earth. Mm-hmm. Angelina Jolie and the kids, and boom, there it is. You're like, yeah, do you know her? No. Do you know her manager? No. Agent? No. So you have no connection. You're just saying Angelina Jolie. And they're like, yeah. It reminds me of the movie Elf, when the writer, the animator shows up and he's like, tomatoes. You're like, tomatoes? What do you do with tomatoes? Like the whole book was going to be based on nothing, right? It's, you got to know them. If you're going to pitch somebody, get a good character, A. And if you're going to pitch a celebrity, reach out to them, connect. You'd be surprised how many times we've actually gotten to pretty big names that they either didn't think of the idea or they want to do it.
Right. Well, you know, I love that. And thanks for thinking of that, you know, recommendation right on the spot. I love that. That was a great recommendation. Sergio, anything in closure in terms of, is there, you know, one book that you big fan of that you recommend to others?
Yes, there is. And it's funny when I saw that as a question, you know, it made me smile, because I think I irritate people with how much I talk about this book, because I truly, truly love it.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Shoe Dog. Hands down, one of the best books ever. Have you read it?
I haven't, but definitely heard many times. It's so
I'm not, look, I'm not a sneakerhead. I it's just not my world. And it got recommended to me by a good friend, Andrew Lee. And he's like, you got
it, right?
What's that? Yeah.
Nike founder, right?
Yeah. But what I love about it is it's that story. Like, people just think that, you know, life comes easy. Like, oh, you're Nike, you're Phil Knight, you're rich, and everything was aces for you the whole way. Like, success has struggle, man. You really gotta, unless you win the lotto, you gotta really put it in. You're gonna have big ups, you're gonna have big downs. This is what the world's about. But Phil Knight and his story and what this whole book is about, this guy really struggled. I mean, he self-admitted horrible encyclopedia salesman. That's what he started with. His feet were killing him walking in Hawaii as he started his shoe company with, you know, put plastic in a waffle iron. That's how the shoe print actually came to be. Like, all of these different things for him in particular, and why I love the book so much, is he was always on the brink of bankruptcy. He was always on the brink of failure, going to jail, people going after him for all the wrong reasons, just trying to take him out. Like, I will not wear Adidas for nothing more than how many bad things they did to try and take down the little guy that was trying to make it. He just had so much struggle until he finally made it. But it's like, you're talking 20 years of just never give up, constantly getting hit. That is pushing the boulder up Kilimanjaro, not the mountain. Like, this guy is literally, it's just a great story. And there's some, I won't give it away, but there's some touching moments in there too, where, you know, as a reader, like, you get choked up. You're like, oh, damn.
That's interesting.
It's really, it's a fantastic book. Highly recommend it.
Wow, that's super cool. And I'm actually trying to pull up my phone so I can show that it is on my Kindle. I haven't gotten to it yet. So
I'm telling you, when you finish that book, you're going to be like, not expected. It's not a book you would expect to pick up. Like, I don't want to read about Phil Knight and Nike. Great. So what? He made Nike. He's rich. Who cares, right? It's a great story. It really is a great story.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Those great recommendations. And Sergio, thanks so much for your time. Great, you know, valuable insights. Personally learned quite a bit through this very short conversation. Great energy. I loved it.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. We'll stay in touch with you. Perhaps we could do another episode in about a year. See how
whenever you want, man. Thank you so much.
I very, very appreciate your time today.
You got it.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.